In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May this day be filled with blessings for all of us, and especially for fathers on this day which has been designated Father's Day. This month of June is devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we can see how the church balances her liturgical year. Last month, she gave us Mary's beautiful May, the second Sunday of May, which was appropriately blessed as Mother's Day. However, our secular society competes with the church's liturgical year. June, for example, has been designated by United States politicians as LGBTQ month. The month of June also reminds us of the end of the Great World War, World War II. And that is when our Catholic bishops provided us with some hopeful principles and norms for sanctifying the church with the so-called Second Vatican Council. These bishops had been imprisoned in concentration camps, and there they spent their time planning for the church's future. They followed the spirit of today's gospel. They felt inspired to devise a new order of dedicated old men and some young men as permanent deacons. And that explains my role, which is here among you. The gospel asks us to concentrate on bringing back the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is, we're asked to include all of mankind in this effort to show a beautiful following of all of us with Jesus Christ, the man, God, who redeemed us. Unfortunately, the status of Christians in recent times shows a general decline, except among the least prosperous nations. Nations who are poor and who are persecuted have high percentages of faithful who attend weekly Mass. Catholic Mass attendance in African countries, where Muslims tend to attack churches, the attendance there can be as high as 94%, whereas on the other side of the scale, where people are in prosperous and wealthy countries, Catholic Mass attendance can be lower than 10%. As we look at these problems Catholicism faces, it seems the more prosperity we have, the more tendency there is to ignore it and to move in the wrong direction. A new problem seems, however, to arise to grab our attention, and that is something called artificial intelligence. Last week, there was a Protestant service that was performed in a large church in Berlin. A beautiful young female pastor conducted a ceremony that was very well received and was highly praised. The only problem was this was done through artificial intelligence, whereas people received certain benefits, perhaps, but they really didn't attend at all. And that's something that I think reflects the Catholic Church, too. If people come to church and they don't think about what they're doing, as occasionally happens, but not here at St. John's, then people will have a tendency to act as though all we have is artificial attendance. Well, we can succeed in bringing back people to church, bringing back people to their dedication to Jesus Christ, primarily through lots of prayer. During the month of May, we revived our devotion to Mary. And that reminds me of a story that was told many years ago about marauding Muslim soldiers who attacked Catholic churches. A bishop in Nigeria was reported to have prayed in his church asking for guidance. He prayed before the Blessed Sacrament, and he was surprised to find that Mother Mary appeared before him. As he knelt praying in that church, he noticed that Mary handed him a large sword. He then reached for the sword, and by the time he grabbed it, it had turned into a rosary. He then experienced what he had heard often during his lifetime, that the greatest weapon that Mother Mary has is the rosary. I'm also then reminded about an experience that I had here some time ago. Actually, it was 38 years ago, and it was a Tuesday afternoon. Every Tuesday, Father Al Kim, who was a very popular priest here among the students, especially, he was from Hawaii, and he had a very distinctive Hawaii background. And he was a good linguist. He spoke several languages very, very well. While he was here preparing for the Mass, a young black nun from Nigeria appeared. She was a very fervent Mass attender. And she said to him and to me as we prepared for the Mass, "Today I have received word that a good friend of mine from my hometown in Nigeria is being present here." And she pointed to a tall black man who was leaning against one of our confessionals in the rear of the church. And I was curious. I said to her, very enthusiastic young nun who liked to speak in an enthusiastic fashion, I said, "Sister, is your friend a priest?" After all, the man was dressed like a priest in the proper garments. And she said to me, "He is a bishop." And I thought that was a nice, emphatic way to get one's attention. And after we started the Mass, Father Kim invited him to come and say the Mass for us. He, at the end of Mass, said to the congregation, "May I please add a few words to what was done in this Mass?" I preached during that Mass. I preached every Tuesday for Father Kim. I put my topic, the idea of voting carefully. It was a Tuesday. We had the opportunity to vote. At the end of the Mass, then, the bishop turned to our congregation, and he said, "The deacon has preached about the need to be attentive to local politics. I would like to offer the advice that everything that is regarding morals and activities throughout the whole world. It should all be dedicated to our daily life. Well, he gave us much more inspiration, and I will never forget him. I won't even forget the fact that he and Father Kim compared the ability to speak several foreign languages. At any rate, several years later, I read in the Catholic newspaper that this bishop had been promoted to the role of archbishop. And then I kept wondering, many times when I would pick up my rosary and start praying, I would wonder whether this Bishop John had been the bishop to whom Mary appeared. May she appear often to us, especially as we pray our rosary. Blessed art thou, and blessed is the fruit. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen.